This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of August 18th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad Cop
No Donut!
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut!
It's under law! And I rule!
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Residents of Compton, California, who were less than accepting of an apology offered by members of the LA County Sheriff's Department who fired more than 120 shots at an unarmed suspect in May, now have all the more reason to be skeptical of the sincerity of the officers. According to the LA Times, of the 13 officers that were disciplined in relation to the shooting, 11 have appealed their punishment. A lawyer representing some of the officers says that the appeals are a routine part of the disciplinary process. Of the 120 shots fired, 66 hit the SUV driven by the unarmed man, 11 hit patrol cars, 11 hit five area homes, and one hit a sheriff's deputy. Only two of the 120 rounds hit the person the deputies were shooting at. At least six police officers in Richmond, California, were caught on surveillance videotape helping themselves to beverages at a local shopping mall cookie store in July. An Associated Press report says that the officers were searching for a gunman who had fired shots at a security guard during a robbery attempt when they helped themselves to the drinks. The theft was reported to the authorities by the management of the cookie store. The city of Eugene, Oregon, settled two lawsuits last Thursday with women who were sexually assaulted by police officers. According to an Associated Press report, the city paid $660,000 to a woman who was sexually assaulted by Roger McGanna. McGanna is currently serving a 92-year prison term for sexually abusing more than a dozen women on the job. The woman decided to sue the city after McGanna was found guilty of several charges involving her, including kidnapping, sodomy, sexual abuse, coercion, and official misconduct. She claimed that McGanna sexually assaulted her 16 times over a period of several years, and once placed his handgun next to her genitals and threatened to blow her insides out if she ever told anyone. A second woman received a $75,000 settlement after Officer Juan Lara tried to force her to perform oral sex on him when she invited him into her home to ask him to stop harassing her. 11 other women still have lawsuits pending against the city.
There was a possibility that the gun that was recovered, that was thrown by the suspect who had been apprehended, was apparently pointed in the direction of the suspect. So one could construe that the officer was asking, is this your weapon? It's the manner in which that may have been done that concerns us. The way I would perceive it, it took a great deal of courage for the officer to see something that he viewed as inappropriate behavior and immediately alerted his supervisor. That speaks volumes of what the officers on the street face and the difficult choices they have to make.
An Aurora, Colorado police officer has been placed on administrative leave after a fellow officer reported that he pointed a gun at a handcuffed suspect. The Denver Post reports that Officer Chris Stein apprehended the suspect, who he believed was one of a group of people who fled after an off-duty officer working security at a local restaurant called for help. Stein says he was just showing the suspect the gun so he could determine whether or not it belonged to him. Police are investigating a possible menacing charge against Officer Stein, but so far, no internal or criminal charges have been filed. A couple in Afton, Iowa, has accused the local police chief of killing their pet dog. A report in the Des Moines Register says that the couple have accused Chief John Coulter of abducting their dog and then shooting it on July 25th. The couple's lawyer sent a letter to Afton city officials alleging that Coulter drove the dog out of town after forcing it into his car and then killed it. The letter accused the chief of killing the dog in front of two teens on the orders of the town's mayor, Gary Clear. Coulter allegedly shot the animal in the chest instead of in the head, after which the dog jumped back into the chief's car and bled all over a seat. The lawyer says that the chief broke state law when he failed to turn the dog over to an animal shelter. The couple has plans to sue Coulter and are pushing town officials to fire him. A state law passed in Wisconsin in 1997 requires police departments in the states to collect and report information regarding high-speed pursuits to the Wisconsin State Patrol. The State Patrol is then required by the same law to report the assembled information to the state legislature every 2 years. A report this week in the Wisconsin State Journal says that of the 620 agencies required to file the reports, more than 60% failed to submit them in any given year. Also, the State Patrol has never compiled the required biennial report. A police officer in Randolph, Missouri has been charged with impersonating an officer in connection with an illegal traffic stop in another jurisdiction. The Associated Press reports that Officer John Giolis was charged with false impersonation after pulling over a motorist who he was involved in a road rage dispute with in Prairie Village, Kansas, in front of that town's chief of police. Giolis was about 20 miles outside of the community where he works when he made the stop. He was also convicted last year of unauthorized use of his siren and lights in the same town after his police vehicle was involved in a collision. Giolis was fined $90 in that incident.
Crawford is a rogue cop. He's unfit to serve as a police officer because he has a propensity for beating victims while they're in handcuffs.
She was beaten, tortured, her breast exposed to a dozen people by Officers Pat Crawford and Officer Kelly Givens.
By the end of that evening, both of my sons had been charged with multiple felonies, and my son Brian had been brutally beaten and assaulted by Officer Scott Crawford in front of over 20 eyewitnesses.
Our son was beaten, pepper sprayed, and tortured for no other reason than he was walking down the street, literally minding his own business.
He was pepper sprayed, punched, and assaulted on almost every contact he had with Officer Crawford. His major crime was being in a school yard playing basketball after hours.
The state police, the McHenry County Sheriff's Department, and everyone else has been concealing what's been going on in this case.
A 44-count complaint was filed on Monday, which alleges a pattern of abuse on the part of a police officer in Marengo, Illinois. WMAQ says that the complaint alleges that Officer Scott Crawford violated the civil rights of six young men. It also says that the city and its former police chief were negligent in their hiring and retaining of the officer. Lawyers are seeking $1.5 million for each victim. Crawford was terminated from his job as a police officer in Waukegan several years ago. In that case, the officer was videotaped punching a handcuffed man in the face several times. Indiana State Police are investigating possible misconduct by a group of West Lafayette police officers while they were on a bus trip to watch a baseball game in July. An Associated Press report says that an investigation was launched earlier this month after an anonymous email complaint. The names of the officers in question were not released, and the precise nature of the misconduct is not known except that alcohol is believed to be involved. A woman in Southgate, Michigan, filed a lawsuit against the city last week which accuses an officer responding to a call for help of assaulting her. The Southgate News-Herald says that the woman accuses Officer David Grondin of violating her civil rights when he and two other officers responded to a domestic abuse call last October. The lawsuit says that by the time the officers arrived, an argument the woman was having with her boyfriend had ended. Officer Grondin is accused of forcing his way into the woman's home, grabbing the woman by the neck, and kicking and beating her while using abusive and vulgar language. The woman is seeking $75,000 in damages. A patrol officer with the Michigan Department of Public Safety, who was accused of molesting two girls, killed himself at work last Friday. According to an Associated Press report, Officer Matthew Hallman was hours away from being placed on administrative leave over the accusations. Hallman had been accused by two girls of molesting them between May 2003 and October 2004. Hallman had been charged with four counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct, criminal sexual conduct with a person under the age of 13, third-degree criminal sexual conduct, and accosting children for immoral purposes. A police officer in Parma, Ohio, has been suspended over alleged cocaine use. WEWS reports that Officer James Chimura was suspended and an investigation launched as soon as the authorities were notified of the problem. Chimura may face job termination and criminal charges depending on the results of investigations and grand jury testimony. So far, there have been no internal or criminal charges against the officer. Two lawsuits were filed last Thursday against the Steubenville, Ohio Police Department and the city. WTOV reports that one of the lawsuits was filed by an overweight man who officers physically forced into the back of a squad car in September 2003. The man claims in the lawsuit that he was also beaten and pepper sprayed for no reason. The second lawsuit was filed by a person whose home was raided by police in December 2004 and searched for drugs. Police did not have a warrant for the search and did not charge anyone with a crime. During the search, police held automatic weapons in the face of a 5-year-old. In March, a U.S. Justice Department consent decree, which came into force in Steubenville in 1997, was lifted. A police officer in Lynn, Massachusetts, is currently standing trial for domestic assault and battery, making domestic threats, and witness intimidation. According to the Lynn Daily Item, Officer Ezekiel Ortiz is accused of assaulting his wife during a dispute on August 1st. He pleaded not guilty to the charge the next day. Ortiz was suspended without pay for 5 days after his arrest, and he has been on administrative duty ever since. His wife told an officer that responded to the dispute that her husband pushed her and called her names. This allegation was supported by the woman's call to 911 for help, but last Friday a judge ruled a recording of the call inadmissible as evidence. Ortiz's wife also told police that her husband threatened her if her actions led to him losing his job. She later went to a police station to get a restraining order against her husband, but decided against it once she was there. The trial continues. A sheriff's deputy in Jefferson County, New York, was indicted by a grand jury last Friday on charges of grand larceny and official misconduct. An Associated Press report says that Gregory Bush is accused of stealing $800 from a drug suspect in April. The theft occurred while Bush was on duty. Bush was released but ordered to surrender all his firearms to the sheriff's department. He was charged in 2004 with stealing $3,000 of drug squad money. Criminal charges were dropped when Bush repaid the money. A man who was attacked by a police dog in Atlantic City, New Jersey, is accusing police of brutality. According to the Press of Atlantic City, the man filed a notice of claim against the city in court this week. The man claims he sustained 30 puncture wounds, which required staples, after a police dog bit him for more than 20 seconds as two police officers pushed his face into the sand in June. A witness claims that the police dog did not respond to the officer's commands to stop attacking the man. A videotape of the incident confirms that the officer had difficulty controlling his dog. The man was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest after the attack. A police officer in Seaside Park, New Jersey, was suspended without pay indefinitely last Tuesday after he was arrested and charged with theft. The Asbury Park Press says that Officer Matthew DeVecca stole an unspecified number of wristbands from a local water park where he also worked. He will remain on suspension until his case is resolved. A police officer in Edgewood, Pennsylvania, has been accused of raping a 14-year-old girl. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says that Officer Fred Livingston is accused of violating his victim repeatedly over a 10-year period ending when the girl was 14 in 2001. The victim claims that the last time the officer sexually assaulted her, she attempted to fight back, but that Officer Livingston beat and kicked her. She later reported the abuse to her mother, but the abuse was not reported to authorities. A therapist eventually reported the crime to police. Livingston was arrested on August 5th and charged with rape, incest, sexual assault, endangering the welfare of a child, aggravated indecent assault, and corruption of a minor. A Pennsylvania state trooper was charged on Tuesday with harassing a hairstylist in Northumberland. WGAL reports that Trooper Jeffrey Diggin is accused of repeatedly making lewd phone calls to the woman. Police say they have phone records indicating that Diggin called the woman at least 28 times. On one occasion, he is alleged to have posed as a person conducting a survey on breast cancer over the phone. A transit police officer in Washington, D.C. was arrested again last Thursday and charged with second-degree sexual abuse. An Associated Press report says that Officer Darren Way was charged this time with an incident which occurred in June when he refused to pay a prostitute who he had sex with. Charges in connection with a similar incident in June were dropped last week. Way has been fired from his job and is currently free. He will appear in court next on August 25th. A police officer in Prince George's County, Maryland, was charged with insurance fraud and attempted theft last week. An Associated Press report says that Officer Jermaine Ayala made misleading statements and offered false documents in a claim he filed with an insurance company last November. If convicted, the officer faces 30 years in prison and a fine of up to $11,000. Two police officers in Danville, Georgia, were charged after a drunken vehicle collision last Friday. The Danville Register and Bee says that Scott Shackelford and Chase Shively were returning home early in the morning from a local restaurant in separate vehicles. Shackelford misjudged a turn in his driveway, applied his brakes, and was rear-ended by the truck driven by Shively. Shackelford's vehicle flipped over but landed back on its wheels. Although both admitted to drinking, only Shackelford's blood alcohol level was above the legal limit, and he was charged with driving under the influence. He was also suspended with pay pending the outcome of a police investigation. Shively was charged with failing to maintain control of his vehicle. A former reserve deputy in Loudoun County, Tennessee, has been accused of molesting a 6-year-old girl. WBIR reports that Thomas Nicholson was accused of the crime by the victim's mother, who used to use Nicholson's wife to babysit the girl. Years after his wife began caring for the girl told her mother about the abuse. Nicholson has been charged with aggravated sexual battery. His trial begins in January. A Raleigh, North Carolina police officer was charged with assaulting his son last Monday. WRAL reports that Sergeant Pat Rocker was charged with simple assault after a dispute with his son at their home. Rocker is currently on personal leave. A sheriff's deputy in Craven County, North Carolina, pleaded guilty to breaking and entering and larceny last Thursday. An Associated Press report says that Deputy James Teal was caught on videotape breaking into a shed and stealing a weed trimmer that belonged to the county. Teal was on duty when the crime was committed. He will serve 18 months of probation and was forced to give up his law enforcement certification. Teal was the fourth Craven County deputy fired in the past week. Last Wednesday, three other officers were fired after an alleged attack on a jail inmate. No criminal charges have been filed in that case. A Clover, South Carolina police officer was charged on Friday with obstruction of justice and misconduct in office. According to an Associated Press report, Edward Gower is accused of keeping some rings which were in possession of a man who he caught who had robbed a jewelry store. The officer eventually returned the rings, claiming he found them months after the theft. Gower was fired from his job 3 months ago for unrelated reasons. An Atlanta, Georgia police officer was sentenced to 5 years and 10 months in federal prison last Thursday. WXIA says that David Freeman pleaded guilty in February to a charge that he used his authority as a police officer to lure a rival of a criminal gang so that they could beat him. The officer forced the man into meeting his criminal associates under threat of arrest if he failed to comply. Freeman was arrested in August 2003. 2 weeks after being named Officer of the Year. A Gulf Shores, Alabama police officer who fled child sex charges was recaptured last Wednesday in Mexico. The Associated Press says that Officer Romney Prince was subsequently deported to the United States and into the custody of the FBI in San Diego. Prince fled to Mexico in 2004 after being accused of sexually assaulting a teenage boy in July 2003. He will be returned to Alabama, where he is facing charges of sodomy and unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. Two sheriff's deputies in Hinds County, Mississippi, are out of a job after a man escaped from their custody at a hospital. The Associated Press reports that one of the unnamed deputies was fired and the other resigned. The two deputies were accused of violating department policy when they unshackled the prisoner who was taken to the hospital when he complained of stomach pains. The officers are only supposed to remove shackles if they interfere with medical treatment. The prisoner was recaptured a short time later. Two police officers in El Paso, Texas, have been arrested for having sex with a minor. KVIA reports that officers Louis Nava and Philip Amato were both charged with sexual assault of a child. Nava was also charged with sexual performance with a child and possession of child pornography. Amato is accused of having sex with the girl in the presence of Nava. Nava is alleged to have had sex with the same girl, and sexually explicit photographs of the girl were found in his locker at work. Nava and the girl, who was a friend of the officer's daughter, began a sexual relationship in 2002 when the girl was 14 years old. The first sexual assault occurred while they watched Star Wars together at the officer's home. Court documents say that they had sex several times a week in the following years. Nava and Amato are free as of last Thursday on $55,000 and $5,000 bonds, respectively. On Monday, a police officer in Fort Worth, Texas, was sentenced for kicking a man and standing on his head while he was handcuffed. The Associated Press reports that Officer Ruben Ruiz was sentenced to 27 months in prison. He was convicted in April of one count of deprivation of civil rights, resulting in bodily injury. The victim of the beating was being held down by five other officers when Ruiz kicked him and beat him in the head. He later kicked the man in the head again. He later stood on the man's head after the other officers had placed the man in handcuffs. The entire incident was captured on a video which was shown at the officer's trial. Ruiz will begin serving his sentence next month. This was not his first offense. In 1998, Ruiz broke the window of a vehicle he had been chasing, pulled the driver through the window, and hit him three times with a flashlight. Ruiz has resigned from the Fort Worth Police Department. A police officer in Gatesville, Texas, pleaded guilty last week to his part in a bank robbery. KCEN reports that Officer Wesley Friedrich and his wife helped hide the proceeds of a bank robbery committed by another couple last September. The four buried the money and later dug it up in order to make purchases. Friedrich is facing 12 and a half years in prison on his charge of being an accessory to the robbery. The other three are facing 25 years in prison. Sentencing will take place in late September. A former student at North Texas University in Denton is suing three university police officers for beating him during a traffic stop in August 2003. According to the North Texas Daily, the man had his head slammed into the trunk of his car by officers Greg Prickett, Mark Linnell, and William Hitt. The three officers also claimed in affidavits that the victim of the beating attacked one of the officers. A videotape from a camera in a police cruiser showed the attack and proves that the victim of the beating offered no resistance to the officers. After the beating, the three officers tried to take the man to a local jail but were not permitted to bring the man in until after he had been treated at a hospital. All charges against the victim of the beating were dropped after the local prosecutor viewed the police videotape of the incident. The three officers are still employed by the university. A police officer in Windsor, Ontario, is under investigation over a brutal beating of a man which left him with a broken rib and internal injuries. The Windsor Star reports that Ontario's Special Investigations Unit announced an investigation of the incident last Thursday. 17 civilian witnesses and a number of police witnesses have already been interviewed in connection with the August 1st beating, which took place outside of a restaurant. The lawyer for the victim of the beating says that his client had to have emergency surgery to repair a damaged liver. A police officer here in Toronto was charged last Friday with sexually assaulting a woman while he was on duty. According to a Canadian press report, Constable Joseph Green is accused by an employee of an adult entertainment establishment of attacking her last October. Green is charged with sexual assault, illegally pointing a firearm, and careless use of a firearm. He's free on his own recognizance and will appear in court next on September 16th.
Individual had heart, mental, and other health conditions related to an excited delirium episode wherein he fought five officers. Because of all of the exacerbating conditions, unfortunately, the gentleman died as a result of being restrained by the police.
An autopsy has determined that a police taser is a contributing factor in the death of a man in Waco, Texas. The 62-year-old man died in June when police responded to a call regarding an argument between the man and his sister. The autopsy says the official cause of death was acute physiologic stress associated with multiple electrical shocks. Two investigations into the death are continuing. A report in the Palm Beach Post this week said that Florida led the United States in the number of people who have died after being shocked with a taser. 27 people have died after being shocked with a taser in Florida in the past 5 years. A 14-year-old girl was in hospital after being shocked with a taser by a police officer in Orange County, Florida, after she showed up to school with a knife last Thursday. The girl was charged with possession of a weapon on campus and assaulting a police officer. A man who was shocked with a taser at a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant in Aurora, Colorado, after being falsely accused of stealing salad, has settled with the city. As part of a plea bargain, the man agreed to pay a $500 fine for disturbing the peace in exchange for 5 other charges being dropped. The man also agreed not to pursue a lawsuit against the city. The city will pay the man's legal and medical expenses. The Sheriff's Department in Ben Hill County, Georgia, announced this week that they have purchased tasers for its deputies and jailers. Last month, police in Watsonville, California, purchased 11 tasers and put them into use. Taser International, the people who make stun guns used by North American police forces, issued a statement on Monday celebrating the results of a recent Columbus, Ohio study, which they say shows their weapons prevented police from using deadly force in 14 incidents. During the 6-month study, 12 of the incidents where police might have used deadly force were attempted suicides. Taser claims that by shocking suicidal people with 50,000 volts of electricity, they are saving lives that would have otherwise been taken by police bullets. Despite all of the great news, Taser's shares are still trading below $10 each, a drop of around 70% since the start of this year. Taser International is also celebrating the dismissal on Friday of one of the many lawsuits filed against them. In that case, a 15-year-old boy in Mesa, Arizona, died after being shot with conventional guns in 2003. Another lawsuit was filed last Friday by the family of a man who died after being shocked with a taser by police in Phoenix, Arizona, in April. In that case, a 24-year-old man was shocked by Officer Carla Williams during a trespassing investigation. The new lawsuit accuses Taser International of failing to warn police about the dangers of its product, questions the company's medical research, and accuses the company of disregarding information from its critics about potential problems with the weapon.
I heard some gunshots. My mom started screaming and yelling to get down and away from the windows.
He turned around as the officer drove through the parking lot, pointed over his shoulder back at the officer, and started firing at the officer.
I saw the policeman trying to maneuver around the trees to try and get a better look into the car. The
Tulsa Police Department did a heck of a good job.
Other than the killings already reported in this week's show, police also killed people this week in Dublin, California, San Diego, California, where police have fatally shot 6 people in the last 2 weeks, Purdy, Washington, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Alexandria, Louisiana, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Mesa, Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, and Forest Glen, Nova Scotia, where police killed a 70-year-old retired bank manager. That's all for Bad Cop No Donut this week. Feel free to send us any comments or story ideas. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Thanks to everyone who sent in articles for this week's show. We count on you to keep us up to date with what the police are up to where you live. Bad Cop No Donut is produced at CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto and can be heard in Syracuse, New York on WXXE 90.5 FM and in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on WRCT 88.3 FM. This program is available at no cost to nonprofit broadcasters. Send an email for more information. I'm Ron Anisich, and I look forward to telling you more about the police next week.
Walk the pigs once around the park, they're looking for a fight. Don't give it to them, don't give them anything they want. No more donuts, no more pizza. Pigs out of Odessa, get your blue ass off the green grass. Why are you at it? You don't want to have our shit. Fuck you, have a nice day. Fuck you, have a nice day. give. And while you're at it, quit your stupid wasteful job so you can hire back some teachers, feed old folks in the Bronx, and keep the pools open, and keep recycling all that shit that's being thrown away so we can pay to set up your fat, stupid, fascist blue butt in the park, rehearsing for bigger rides to come, in which you're gonna get your ass kicked severely. Fuck you, have a nice day. Fuck you, have a nice day. Fuck you, have a nice day. What out of Tompkins Square Park? Fuck you, have a nice day. Fuck you, have a nice day. Fuck you, have a nice day. Fuck the PBA. Thanks a lot, folks.